Hi, folks. Fairly brief report here from rookie camp on 5/2/26. The Ravens had the day partially open to the media. We were able to have a little less than an hour of actually observing practice, and then they take us inside. Great weather, sun, just a little chilly, but you don't get days this nice during the summer. It's usually way too hot. So this was quite a respite here. Practice included all rookies and first-year players who are either draft picks, UDFAs, on the 90-man roster, as well as a number of non-roster invitees for tryouts, and perhaps another 20-plus of those in attendance. So very chaotic kind of a day from that perspective. Includes a roster of signed players, and there's no roster for tryout players, which is always kind of a difficult thing about rookie camp, because you're trying to check off the numbers, you're trying to go through the individuals who are there, and some of them are not on the numerical list, of course, and lots of back and forth on number checking. You have to really check in the opposite direction to be sure that the numbered UDFA primarily and other rookie players are there, the draft picks. All right, so they start off with some calisthenics, of course. I'm going to go through a little bit of what happened. They have another set of calisthenics just a little bit later, but in between, they ran run drills. And you had 22 players there. Only three were lined up in helmets, which is an interesting thing. Two inside linebackers and the quarterback had helmets on. One thing I did notice was that the group on defense in particular was very loud. There's lots of pre-snap information being exchanged. Minter praised the coaches for getting the players ready to do that. I asked him a question when he's at the podium about that, and he said, yes, you can't play this game quietly, and you can't play this game with doubt, and you can't play this game without knowing what you're doing. And so I know from a defensive standpoint, we should be the loudest, most crazy, obnoxious, communicative unit in the history of football. And that's the rookies doing that. So I give credit to the coaches that they had those guys prepared to come out here and be able to be like that. That's really the standard that we're trying to create. When you communicate and you're on the same page and you know what you're doing, you have a much better chance of being successful. And the whole idea is that when you do it over and over again, you do it here, you do it every play, so that it doesn't matter if it's the first play of the season against whoever, or a game in December, or a game in February, that's the standard of how we operate, and we lead ourselves to success in those moments if we operate like that all the time. Very, very good thing to hear from Jesse. Definitely positive on the communication element of defensive football, and that's something I like to see. And I'm really impressed that a bunch of rookies and UDFAs are out there. Normally, you know, you go into your job on the first day. Are you likely to make a lot of noise? I think most times the answer is going to be no, but these guys are at one of their first practices, not exactly their first, but pretty close to it. And they're speaking up and being loud on the field, trying to convey information to their teammates. I really think that's great. They did a couple special teams drills, and what they always have, special teams drills are always a buildup. So when you talk about a punt drill now, and this is a punt team drill, you don't get very much. Really what all they're concerned about right now is get off, getting the first footsteps correct as they step back off the line of scrimmage. So it's not really much that you would see, come summer. They'll work their way up with other elements of, first of all, the gunners moving downfield and the players getting the punt off without a penalty and whatnot, before they get into any of the stuff about contesting a return or whatnot. So they're clearly not at that point. And they're just building. This is really baby steps from here. I don't even really consider this a rookie drill as much as I consider it an early part of camp drill as part of the buildup to eventually being able to run an actual punt from a punt formation. And they did have both their punters there. They were on a separate field for most of the day, but they didn't kick the football during these drills here. I went over and watched the QBs for a while. There's no Lamar and Tyler, of course, so all there are Diego Pavia, Joe Fagnano, and one other tryout player whose name I couldn't catch. Begins with an A, but I'm not sure the guy's name. I'll say that Pavia moves around well, and he throws on the run well, but he throws a very wobbly ball. That seems to be true whether he's in the pocket or not. Sometimes that's a function of small hands or not having a lot of rotational, not a lot of spin on the football. But anyway, it does not throw a really tight spiral from what I've seen. Fagnano throws well on the run. The spiral is much tighter. If you're just looking at these two quarterbacks and you're wondering who had more college success, you probably guess it was Fagnano. Now, there's a lot more to going into that goes into playing quarterback than just throwing the football, but Fagnano seems to have a little bit better arm. Both of them have pretty good arm strength, by the way, despite the little bit of wobble that that Pavia has. And if I had to guess, one of those two will likely be added to the practice squad come September. The Ravens, I'm pretty sure, are going to go only with two quarterbacks. There was a question for Minter whether or not four quarterbacks on the 90-man roster was the right amount, or too many or too few, whatever. And he said between three and five. It's in a state of flux, but that might be a normal number that we see this summer. Went over and watched the wide receivers for a little bit. And my primary interest is in the two drafted rookies, Jacoby Lane and Elijah Surratt. Lane really looks the part, I'll say. He likes to be first in line for drills. He has very big hands, enormous catch radius, both forward and back, goes up for the ball extremely well. You can tell when somebody's a very natural leaper. They're used to dunking a basketball and other things. And I believe Lane had some absurd vertical jump as well, but he goes up for the football very effectively. From what I've seen on him in tape, he's fairly fearless going up for the ball as well, which is good. You know, he's a guy who is going to be in a lot of contested catch situations in the NFL. And for him to succeed, the Ravens, he's going to have to be very good at adjusting to the football, going and get it wherever it's thrown. And hopefully Lamar Jackson can help him out by creating lots of opportunities in zone for him, as well as some outside the number shots like we saw from DeAndre Hopkins last year, where he's in single coverage and Lamar trusts him to go get the football based on some success that they have together this summer. Elijah Surratt, he's much more laid back in terms of getting in line. He doesn't need to be first, doesn't even need to be second. He's just comfortable when his spot comes up. His cuts are very sharp and really sinks his hips to corner. So they run some little drills with obstacles and whatnot. They could be traffic cones, but they're in like an upright bar or something. I guess I would call it a plastic thing, obviously. And he cuts very sharply around those, probably the sharpest of any of the receivers that I watched today. And that includes some guys who are much smaller than him. But he does a very good job of cornering at his size. That was something, that's evident from his college tape, as the guy runs very good routes and looks like he plays faster than his 40 times. So that was nice to see. We had some podium time. They had, four rookies as well as Jesse Minter for us. Minter talked about Calais Campbell and how he's stoked to have him back. And, there were questions about leadership and whatnot. And he said, I want to see what he can do for the young guys, but also I want to see what he can bring to the field. And the way the Ravens are depending on Calais Campbell this year might not be the safest move to add a ton of depth from a 40-year-old who can affect, your versatility and your depth at two position groups potentially. But on the other hand, Calais Campbell is one in a million. He's just a very rare dude that'll be playing his 19th season this year. So hopefully he has one big one left. Minter got several questions about Diego Pavia. He mentioned that he'd had some learning experiences. That's a direct quote, but played ball very well in the SEC and is in the running for a Heisman. In a lot of ways, that's the way he needs to look at him. And there's been some video obviously out of Pavia the last few days, which would raise other different questions about him and comparisons to Johnny Manziel and whatnot. But he is a obviously a bon vivant and hopefully a guy who could be something at the NFL level. Venga Ioane, joined the podium next. He is very comfortable at the podium, by the way. Big guy, happy with everybody, just runs up very, very natural speaker at the podium. He's asked about Dwayne Ledford. He said he's very energetic, does a good job of separating ball and other talk, and that, there's a refresh and reset component to conversations with him that is good. The other thing they asked him about was his confidence in moving from left guard to right guard. So I guess that's on the record now. I didn't even actually record it at practice today where he lined up. But I think it was Jameson Hensley did and asked about that. And he said, he played all over at Penn State and he's happy that he shouted out his college OL coach was a guy named Troutwine. But he was confident about being able to move to right guard. Adam Randall was at the podium next. Now, Adam Randall, this converted wide receiver to running back, Ravens draft in the fifth round, and he was a guy that reportedly Steve Bisciotti not only made the pick, but he may have done some other due diligence where he hired somebody to look into Randall. I heard that story told. I don't know if it's true or not. Randall talked a little bit about his conversion from wide receiver to running back. One of the things you notice, Randall's very comfortable also, by the way, the podium. Good speaker, you know, gives good answers. And it's just there's a difference of viewpoint in terms of a couple of things. Like at one point, he was asked, what was Jesse Minter's comment to the rookies? And what Minter told us was that every day has to be your most important day of your career right now. You know, you need to make sure every rep, every this, every that, you know, you need to try and be the best you are, because it's going to determine a lot about what happens going forward. Randall said, he told us to just soak it in. And there's a whole bunch of other things. It's like, that could not be more directly opposite to what Jesse told us, but that's okay. Adam is learning on his own level here. And when he talks about the conversion from wide receiver to running back, and this is a very rare conversion from outside receiver to running back. It's a little more common that you have a guy who's halfway to being a tight end who plays in there. And Randall is a tall, high cut player, some similarities to Derrick Henry in that respect. But he also is a guy who played outside receiver and converted to running back, which is just the rarest kind of a thing. Cordarrelle Patterson is a guy I remember making that kind of a conversion in his career. But anyway, Randall talked a little bit about that. Most of his discussion about that was about what the team needed and how they saw things in him that they really liked and whatnot. I mean, Randall had kind of failed as a wide receiver in a lot of ways. He had 6.0 yards per target in college there. Dropped the ball some, and he actually became, I think, a little bit more effective as a receiver, even though the yards per target weren't any better, when he moved to running back and caught 36 out of 49 balls this last year. That's a good but not great percentage for a running back, but he definitely could do some things after the catch. So that was something that he talked about. He also said he can learn from Derrick Henry some, and because of their similar kind of a physical build, and that's one of the really things that you notice about him is that, you know, he's 6'3 and 232 or thereabouts. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Gus Edwards, but, you know, honestly, physically, he's very similar to Derrick Henry. And he said two things he wanted to learn was about pad level and shortened strides, particularly given that they have this similar physical makeup. Chandler Rivers was next to the podium. I talked about how he'd been largely projected to slot corner at the NFL level. He probably does not look quite as tall as his measurements at the combine were. He's 5'9 and change, maybe 5'10. He is a fairly short dude. People have projected him to slot corner, and he thinks he can still play on the outside, and good. You know, we hope he can be one of those guys who can play both slots. He said he was looking forward to meeting some of the older cornerbacks in the room. Obviously, I think he's talking about Awuzie and Humphrey when he talks about those two, and also interacting with Nate Wiggins, who's a younger guy. And Rivers, of all the people at the podium, I'd say Rivers was probably the least comfortable personally there. And it was a very short thing. They were really shotgunning the players through. As soon as there was no apparent question that developed in about 2 seconds, then they just said, okay, that's it for today. Great. Thanks for coming, kind of thing. Last guy at the podium was Josh Cuevas, the tight end. The interesting things he had to say were his interactions previously with Zion, or about his interactions previously with Zion Young. And Young and he had been in SC competition in the Alabama-Missouri game. He's had to block him. He talked about Young having a very deep bag of tricks. He's got a spin move. He didn't even mention the bull rush. He mentioned two others, and I don't have them in front of me right now. I'm sorry, but he had a deep bag of tricks that he could use, and that's something that we don't think of Zion Young as really having very well developed so far yet. Is a deeper bag. It's something that he's got a good bull rush. He's good with speed to power. But in terms of what Cuevas was saying, I was actually more positive about Zion Young than anything. The other thing that I really take from this is Coivas is going to be probably cast in a blocking role this season for the Ravens. He may be in the backfield some. He'll probably be in line some. But if you look at the other tight end they drafted is Matt Hibner. He's a pure flex guy. Played only 22% in line last year. I'm not saying he won't play at all in line. I'm sure he will. But Coivas is the guy who may even play more snaps than Hibner just because he needs to be a guy that can lead the blocking. And Durham Smythe is the other guy they have who is a blocker. Two is kind of the minimum number of blocking tight ends you need to run a lot of 12 and 13 personnel, as the Ravens would probably want to. So anyway, he didn't even talk that much about himself, although I think he's, you know, lots of stuff about how I'm ready to do whatever the coaches asked me to do. But he really talked more about Zion Young than anything. And the thing I take from the fact what he's discussing about Zion Young is that he's also a willing blocker and a guy who is knowledgeable about blocking. And I really like that. The fact that he could describe to you moves that Young made against him during a game they played last year at some point, means that's a guy who really kind of understands the need to play a blocking role. And I really like that about Josh. So everybody pretty comfortable at the podium. Like I said, Josh, very comfortable as well. And only Rivers maybe a little bit less comfortable. It's still facile up there. You know, he went through the questions pretty quickly. Has very short answers. He's more of a terse guy. Whereas I thought that Coivas and Adam Randall are very natural orators. They take more time to tell a story. Ioane is in between, probably a little bit. Happy to give a short answer, but happy also to give a longer answer when it's necessary, and very comfortable anyway doing that. Anyway, that's it for today. Next OTA is not until, I believe, May 18th for the media. So I'll be attending that and reporting on that. Give a like and subscribe if you're listening on YouTube, and you won't miss this off-season content and the camp content as it comes out. We'll talk to you later.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and it's a good reminder that whatever you're carrying around, you don't have to carry it around alone. Life is a journey. Some days are great. Some days you're lying awake at night thinking about work, family, money, your health, your future, all of it. And when that happens, it's easy to feel like you're supposed to figure everything out by yourself. But nobody has all the answers alone. Having someone with you, someone to listen, understand, and help you sort through what's going on can make a real difference. And BetterHelp can match you with a fully licensed therapist. With more than 30,000 therapists, they do the initial match work so you can focus on what you need. And if the match isn't right, you can switch at any time. You don't have to be on this journey alone. Find support and have someone with you in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.